What's up, everyone? Welcome to Nintendo Dads, your episode 222. Joining with me today are two of the coolest Euro boys across the EU and UK. Of course, starting off with my flat cap gamer friend himself, Mr. Gary Gray. Sir, how the hell are you today?
I'm good. We're missing the intro music because we barely know how to do this show on our own, but we're doing it, Justin.
We do. It's a Euro boys takeover. Yeah, we are an entire crew short, actually. It's just you and me, but of course, you and I, Gary, could go forever, which, you know, that's always fun. But of course, if it's going to be Euros Boys Takeover, we have to bring into with us our other, my local Irishman on the island with me here, who is brown, so you don't think he's Irish, but he is really, Mr. Barry Dunn. How are you, Barry?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Good.
This fine evening.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Well, you kind of dragged me on, so I was like, all right, I have to come on.
Oh, well. Yeah, you were really hesitant about that. I noticed that.
I know.
So, you know, I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Either which way, guys, we got a lot to cover today. We are going to talk about Google has finally jumped into the gaming space with Stadia. Konami says, hey, I like money, so let's send out some collections. And a whole bunch of Nindy games were released, and some of them have us super hyped. That's what we're going to cover today on Nintendo Dads. But of course, before we get started, I would be remiss, ladies and gentlemen, if I did not say a warm thank you to our amazing Patreon folks that support us over at Nintendo Dads /patreon.com. I want to give a special shout out to two people. And not these two lovely people that are joining me on the stream right now. Come in close, guys. Come in real close so I can tell you who these people are. Are you leaning in? You're leaning in. Good. Mecha Dragon 101 and Troy Taylor. Troy Taylor and Mecha Dragon 101. Do you know why they're so important to me, Gary?
Because they're lovely, lovely patrons.
They are lovely, lovely new patrons who are supporting us over at Nintendo Dads. Patreon.com/Nintendo Dads. That's what they're doing. They're there. They're supporting us. Thank you very much to you fine folks who are doing that. Now, if you want to be just like them, and of course you do, because they are the coolest, them and 95 other amazing supporters help to keep this show live, going, and active every single week. Let's just do the kind of crazy stuff that we're doing tonight. Now, if you want to be just like them, head over to Patreon.com/Nintendo Dads. Little as a dollar a month. A little bit of scratch helps us. We greatly appreciate it. Folks, let's do this. On to the news, shall we? We've given Marty and Jesse the week off. We said, lads, you work too hard. Go sit down. Go relax. You put your feet up. We got this. And secretively, it was the Euro Boys takeover for episode 200.
Sorry, sir.
Yeah.
Who the hell is Marty and Jesse?
They're Marty, who are, you know what? Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter okay. who they are, Barry. Okay, they're not here doing this podcast. that's what's going on. So guys, it's going to be a bit of a different show, but we're going to have a crack at it. And if you guys really like this format, this kind of different way, and maybe this becomes a spinoff show. What do you think of that? Maybe like
yeah, okay, it's going to happen.
It's the Euro Boys takeover episode.
This is going to be like the time that Robbie left Take That to go solo.
Yeah, that is a deep cut. Robbie from Take That going solo. Wow, that is a super deep cut.
Yeah, but he was super successful, though.
Google started trying to make some deep cuts into gaming this week. Gentlemen, did you guys watch the Google's keynote at GDC yesterday as they introduced Stadia? Did you guys see this?
I watched a highlight reel because the presentation was going to be long, and I kind of knew that going in. So I left it till after it was all done and watched like a highlight reel. And yeah, I've got so many things to say about it. It's untrue, but we'll keep it light because we are Nintendo, but sure. We might have Googled that soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Barry, how about yourself? Did you check this out?
No, like when I heard about it, I was actually at work, but I've seen images and I find the game controller is very like the Switch gamepad mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. I guess button placements, you know, whatnot. But I guess it's interesting to see how Google goes with this. But they haven't announced any games, you know, as many games yet that we'd like to see. But who knows? So hopefully it's good for Nintendo, PlayStation, and Xbox for competition, you know, see how everything goes forward with it.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you guys think? I mean, you know, Barry, that's a great question you kind of proposed there. Wasn't a lot about games, right? They highlight a lot of Ubisoft's, excuse me, Assassin's Creed, but not a lot of else, right? Rime was mentioned, but not a huge anything else. What do you think? What's it going to take for you to see like AAA game to be hitting on Stadia?
So for me, right, the reason they've done this presentation is to try and get people on board, in my opinion. They haven't said anything about too many games because this is their little toe into the water to try and say, hey, this is the messaging behind it. This is what we're doing. This is what it's all about. We haven't got a price plan because we haven't got any games yet. You know, that they've got Doom and Assassin's Creed, like you said, and a few others. And that's all we really know. But that's my opinion on this. This is a tippy toe into the water to get people on board so they can say, hey, look at this. We've got so many games all releasing at once. So let's do this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do like that statement. It's a dip in the water. Now, of course, we know that Xbox, I've got a coughing fit right now. You guys are going to have to go without me.
Barry, come on.
See, I can't judge yet because obviously we haven't seen the final product, you know. But I guess it's something maybe along the lines of like maybe Microsoft maybe heading to in the future with Xbox maybe perhaps as a service, you know, because like it's sort of like Netflix in a way, but without the whole actually downloading software. So like you don't need, I guess, that powerful hardware that we have today, such as, you know, I guess in terms of Xbox One X and PS4 Pro, which is just, you know, most powerful consoles today, you know, running. But like it's amazing that I can do 4K 60fps and the future that they want to do 8K. Pretty amazing, I think.
Yeah, and I mean we can swing this straight back around to Nintendo because Nintendo's been trialing this in Japan as well. Now we haven't had it over on our shores and the American shores. But it's something that they've been doing, and they've used the same game, Assassin's Creed Origin, which was kind of a telltale that this was going to happen at some point with someone. Yeah. But, you know, Nintendo has the opportunity to dive in. Instead, they took baby steps. But it seems like Google are going all in. Maybe that's just an infrastructure thing. Maybe it's because they got the money to build these server huts that they have to power this by. But what do you think on Nintendo's behalf? Do you think that they're going to eventually do this as a full-time service, or do you think that they've tried it and they don't want to?
Well, let's put a pin in that because Nick Metzger, Patreon supporter, asks, so far we know that Google and Microsoft are moving or making moves for streaming. Do you guys see anyone else entering the arena in the next year? Sony, Nintendo, maybe Apple with their upcoming service. Netflix is dabbling with your choice of choose your own adventure movies right now. I really like the idea for sure, but I'm skeptic that my rural area will have the speed or bandwidth to handle it soon. Guys, what do you think? Again, to your point, who else might be jumping this market? We know Microsoft has said Project X is coming, xCloud. They have talked about it, right? We've seen some kind of promo reels. So it's not far in the distance. Google steps out there, new player in the game, kind of puts the nose out there first. Could we see Nintendo or Sony take role in this? And that's a great call, Gary. I didn't even think about the testing they were doing in Japan as well.
Yep. Well, I honestly think that Nintendo just hasn't got the infrastructure for it. I think they're fully well aware that there's places that don't have internet. I mean, Marty's a good example for us guys. His place doesn't have very good internet at all. That's why sometimes I think he does the show from somewhere else, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does it from the church.
Yeah, so that's a good example. So they're kind of limited to who can actually use this service. And I think that maybe it could be too early days for it yet. But I think that if someone doesn't take this dive, then no one will. And I think that Google's got the highest chance of making it work, I think, especially because of their experience with streaming for having YouTube is quite a big one.
Yeah, and I think like from a Nintendo perspective, you know, Nintendo is very much a stay in their kind of lane company. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're going to be moving with trends just for the sake of trend's sake, right? They have to understand that there's there. I think it's smart for them to be dabbling in the streaming service like they have in Japan, where it's so prolific, right? But I don't think they're going to make any quick steps in relation to it. I do think it's interesting how I think what we're transitioning from is the console wars, right? Traditional, of course, Microsoft, Nintendo, and Xbox, or sorry, Sony. And now we're moving into the streaming wars. And I think that's a very interesting place to be, right? Both Xbox and both Google are kind of going with the same premise of like, hey, you should be able to play it anywhere, right? You can take your mobile device, you can take your low-end PC, you can do it a TV, whatever. I think it's the interesting part is the like the lack of barrier of entry. And I think that's really what Google's going with. I think that's really what Microsoft approaches as well, is how do we get people to play as quickly as we can, right? And how do we connect those people with that content, which I think was what Google was really kind of keying up on, was how do we create, you know, allow content creators and developers to have easy access to the players and share, right? I think it became much more of a communal experience as opposed to a singular experience as well. Barry, what do you think of that?
Yeah, see, if I'm correct, isn't one of the features that they are planning to do is if someone is streaming on YouTube, you can go in on YouTube and actually join their game?
Yeah, yeah. Now, again, presuming you have, I think, the game, I presume you
have. That's pretty amazing. Like,
in your library, you could queue up to play with them. Right. Again, if anyone has the right infrastructure and kind of the ubiquitous access to do it, I do think it's YouTube. Or sorry, I do think it's Google. Right. They've got the YouTube corner. Right. They have that access. So I think if anyone's gonna be able to do it well, it's them.
Yeah. I feel that Sony will possibly be next, more so than Nintendo. Like for me personally, yeah. I don't know about you, and Nintendo are, you know, hardware first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, software, you know, a streaming service would be last, like, you know, because they're bringing in Labo, you know, VR, they're trying new stuff, and it's better to play safe than sorry. And I think, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years until a full infrastructure may come in for Nintendo in that sort of sense.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Gary, what were you going to say?
Yeah, it is, if you look at the market, and some of the trends and some of the experiments that have been happening over the last couple of years, this is a telltale sign that it was going to happen. Like I said, we had Nintendo doing that. We've got Microsoft doing their Game Pass with basically a subscription service to the games. And I think every single person has been trying something. Every single company has been trying something in some capacity, in some way, to get this baby stepped into being a thing, but they're all too scared to take this plunge. And I actually think opposite to Barry. I think the PlayStation are the people who are probably less likely to do it. It's such a strange sort of setup, really. I mean, we've seen so many weird things happening, as we'll get onto later with Cuphead, that I'm really confused with what's going on in gaming at the minute. Like,
yeah,
nobody's bothering with E3. Everybody's got these weird price plans all over the shop. It seems to only be Nintendo who are doing things the traditional way at the minute. And even they're like trying, like Barry said, with Labo, and, you know, they're trying streaming services.
I mean, so, I think, you know, again, I think Nintendo, when they make a shakeup, they tend to be a little bit more deliberate about it, right? Again, as opposed to kind of like, you know, reading the tea leaves or making some bold predictions, they stay very close in that lane, right? And so I think that, you know, I'd probably even argue that Nintendo sometimes is a little bit ahead of that ball, right? So I think of like how they approach E3 with their kind of digital directs, right? And their level of communication, I think, is ahead of a lot of them. And we're seeing companies trying to fall suit with that as well. I want to, before we move on, and you know, again, this is, you know, we kind of made the joke before, but, you know, we'll be excited in August. We'll be officially launching our new podcast called Stadia Dads, where we'll be playing, obviously, just on Google's device as well. But I do want to say this. I do think that somebody has to put their nose out there and get bloodied up first, right? And I'm okay that it's Google in a lot of ways, right? Because if anyone's got the money to really give it a shot, I think it's Google, right? They've got the money. They've got the infrastructure. The other part I would say as well is it's great for competition to be out there. We know that Microsoft wants to be in the market, in the streaming market, and I think it's good, but I think for an industry to stay sharp and to stay relevant and to obviously make better products for our customers or for clients, the winners of both Google and Microsoft fighting it over is going to be us as consumers, right? You cannot have a monopoly in that space. And you know, if Nintendo's not willing to or not able to, and Sony's not able to go into that space, I'm happy somebody's in that space, right? To kind of, you know, so to say, keep them honest. So I think it's great for them to be in there. Now, a couple of things I'd say for those of you that maybe hadn't seen the keynote. We do not yet have a price yet for Stadia. They expect to have more information in the summer regarding price and games. But I would say this, you know, I think someone to be able to pull the trigger on this and move forward, there has to be games. There has to be the appeal, right? So is it going to be something as prolific as something like the Epic Game Store or Steam? where there's just so many developers and so many parties on there that they have access to. Of course, Google also announced that they will have their own first-party development studio as well in-house. They'll be developing games specifically for Stadia. And of course, I think early partnerships with people like Ubisoft is a great thing for them as well. So I think they're making the right moves and the right technology. I'm excited to see where they go, but it's so far away for sure. So we'll see what happens. Guys, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the one biggest sort of worry for me is that this is going to end up as a service war. And classic cases, we've had three consoles and then a fourth that always tries to push in, such as Oya and, you know, TurboGrafx, stuff like that. But I honestly believe that Netflix was going to do this first.
Mm.
Netflix or Apple. And yeah. I still believe that Apple will definitely do it. But they basically already have tried with Apple TV, but I believe that they'd put their foot in a bit more at some point. And I do think Netflix is going to end up doing it because they've been trialing out, like I think it was Barry said, about these interactive TV shows. And yeah, I think that it's going to end up being a choose your lane sort of thing. There's going to be so many streaming services, as we've seen with TV right now. I mean, you've got Disney, you've got their own. I mean, here in the UK, you've got Netflix, you've got ITV, Amazon. You've got Amazon. And yeah. it's gonna start basically pushing people further away in gaming. Apart from the crossplay games, it's going to be more exclusives all over the place.
It's an exciting time. Like, I am very excited about what this means, right? I think we are at the precipice of something very different for gaming, right? I think that really we as consumers kind of win out. I think there's going to be change, there's going to be structure and fluctuation. But again, the idea of moving from console wars to platform or streaming wars, I think it's an interesting place to be. I think it's very interesting. There's going to be lots going to happen. I think E3 is going to be a banger. I think it's going to be real interesting to see what happens, how Sony's been changing and moving as well. Lots on the horizon as well. Very excited, guys. Before we transition to our next topic, and actually, Barry, I want to ask, do you have any final thoughts on that, sir?
Yeah, I see. Maybe no one has mentioned it yet, but probably the biggest problem with the streaming service is your actual internet connection. Will it be strong enough? You know, and because people are downloading gigabytes like per hour, you know, the whole time, and will they be able to afford this? You know, I guess service overall for them. You know, yeah. Like it depends on what, you know, broadband provider that they're with. You know, have they got unlimited, etc.
Yeah.
You know, so that would be a big problem with it.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Barry, right? So the first four countries that they're rolling out here, and I believe, keep me honest, chat, I see some people in the chat, so if I'm wrong here, it is the US, Canada, UK, and I believe Europe are kind of the four target areas first. Now, obviously here in Europe, over here in Ireland, data caps are pretty thin, if any. So that's a pretty great thing. But of course, when you move into some areas in the United States and Canada, you do have absolute data caps that could destroy that as well. So I think that, and not only data caps, but of course the actual, you know, to our point before, right, where is the connectivity, right? You know, can Gary, or not Gary, sorry, can Marty get connectivity in the middle of nowhere? No, right? So this is definitely going to have some barriers of entry as well. Before we move on to our next topic, I want to say a couple things here. Big shout out to our folks in our chat right now. Thank you so much for jumping in here. I see Video Game Guru 64. Thank you so much. Mr. Vaca, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, by the way, for the donation. I appreciate that. I believe, Mr. Vaca, correct me if I'm wrong, congratulations to you, sir, on becoming a new Nintendo dad not too long ago as well. And we're going to still have you on the show coming up soon, but get some sleep. And of course, the BitBlock, Mr. Josh Thomas, joining us as well. Thank you, Josh. Great to see you.
Hey, Josh.
And Dario. I probably said that wrong. I apologize. And of course,
Eduardo,
joining us as well. So, guys, thanks very much. We appreciate that. Let's jump into our another exciting news. You know who likes money? Konami. Konami finally decided to wake up and said, we like money. So you know what they did, folks? They put out the Konami collection, or will be putting out the Konami collection very soon. Did you guys hear about this yet?
Yeah,
I have not. I haven't actually seen anything about this. But it's funny because these two topics actually go hand in hand, because I'm sure that the Google controller had the Konami code written on the back.
It did. Yep. It absolutely did. I was actually really proud. Speaking of that code, my girls were having a shower before they went to bed today, and I'm listening downstairs, and I heard one of them say, and I kid you not, up, up, down, down, left, right, BA. And I was like, I don't know what they're using that in reference to, but I almost started crying. I was just so happy. I was just so proud of my children. Konami code. But you are right. The Konami code was at the very bottom of the controller for Stadia. Interesting kind of tip to the hat as well of the history. I wonder if that code will get you anything in the Stadia as well. Barry, what did you think of and actually maybe I'll give a quick little read down here. Just, you know, Gary, to kind of get you up to speed. Your Konami's Arcade Classics Collection is up first, and they are going to be actually sending out a collection of games. First one is the Arcade Classics. And that's going to be joining us on April 18th with approximately $20. UK price is to be determined. It will contain Haunted, Castle, Ajax, Gradius, Gradius 2, Salamander, Thundercross, Scramble, and Twinbee. And then later in the year, in early summer of 2019, the Castlevania Anniversary Collection, which will be containing Castlevania 1, 2, 3, and Castlevania, along with four more to-be-announced titles, will be coming out. So you're getting a total of 8 games. And then the Contra Collection will also be early summer of 2019. That's going to contain Contra, Super Contra, Super C, Contra 3, The Alien Wars, and 4 other games to be determined in that series as well. So Konami finally decides that they like money and they'd like to make some money. And they're going to be pricing these at $20 each. They're going to be coming to digitally to the PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And by the way, I'm taking that clip right out of Eurogamer. So thank you very much to Eurogamer for that, from Tom Phillips, the news editor there. Guys, what do you think of this? Any of these interest you?
Yeah. I want to get bald and shaky to Contra. Okay. Who doesn't like a challenge?
Sure. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Gary?
Or Barry? Yeah, Contra. Gary already said his. Yeah, I guess Contra, the Alien Wars, I played that on the Super Nintendo years ago.
Yeah,
and I can still remember playing to this day when I was younger. Like, and it's just an amazing game. So hard, but it's so good. But if you think about it, it's kind of the first official Super Nintendo game on the Switch that we know of yet. Or is it?
I think there's a Dragon Ball game.
Is there
at some point?
Anyone in the chat know? Anyone in the YouTube chat? Can we get a quick Google search on that one? You can.
I don't know.
Google chat. It's probably like, get out of here. We don't want you.
I don't know. But like, if Konami is listening, please bring Zombies Ate My Neighbors to Switch. Even, you know, two-player mode as well. Even online. That'd be amazing.
That's a deep cut for Zombies Ate My Neighbors for Konami. What else is Konami have in their wheelhouse? Now, Konami does. Now, am I right here? Konami has the Metal Gear.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, Konami's Metal Gear.
Bring Metal Gear Solid 4 to the Switch. Remaster it, you know, HD, proper full HD, 4K to Xbox One X and PS4 Pro. It'd be amazing. I'd buy it day one, no problem.
There's actually another game in franchise Konami on which I hold near dear to my heart and actually want to see revived again, even though I did get a sort of half-assed revival at one point, is Rocket Knight Adventures and Sparks there. Absolutely love those games, and hopefully they'll come at some point, but I'm not holding my breath too much.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I did a quick search here of Konami's games. They definitely have the ability to do a Metal Gear collection. That's definitely not without reason. Bomberman, that might be, I don't know if there's a Bomberman collection, if there's enough for that, but definitely like Metal Gear. They've got enough in the wheelhouse there to be doing a Metal Gear collector. They've also got Zone of Enders in their collection or their wheelhouse as well. I think it's interesting that they're only showing you 4 of the 8 games that are in that collection. It's kind of like the PlayStation reveal. Do you remember that? Like the PlayStation Classic when they're like, we're going to show you 5 of the 20 games. And you're like, oh really? Cause all 5 of those are hot trash. So why are you doing that? But when we look at those other collections like Contra or Castlevania, what games need to be in there for you guys to pull the trigger on that?
Oh, that's tough because I haven't really played that many of the Castlevanias. I'm not too much of a fan, so I could go in happily with just what they have on it at the minute.
Since Marty's not here, maybe we should talk about how much of a hot trash Castlevania the series is collectively.
I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan, but I can't say too much bad things because it'd be unfair without me really diving in. Although I did like the Game Boy ones.
Broad sweeping statements like that.
I did complete Super Castlevania 4.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I've never come across a game where books are the hardest enemy before. But
sure.
That's definitely one of them.
Who doesn't hate books?
Also, to touch on the Metal Gear thing, we normally do get a Metal Gear game just miles later and slightly enhanced. Like, we had one for the GameCube, which was late, and we had one for the 3DS that was late. I like to call it Konami's second-hand snake, the Nintendo Fanboy Edition. So yeah. There is, at some point, I think that some sort of Metal Gear will happen, but it'll probably be an old one, and it won't be anything new. So yeah, that makes sense. If they put Metal Gear Collection out, I mean, it does make sense. There was Metal Gear on the NES as well.
Yeah, it won't be anything that, like, yeah, the original Metal Gear was on NES. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? So they have the ability. John Blanco says, I really want Contra Hardcore to be included, or Hardcorps to be included. Not only is it great, but there's a multiplayer character. There's multiple characters to play through, and that'd be better done on the Switch rather than in front of the Genesis. Good call. All right.
Excellent. Yeah, there's just one problem with that. This is the Euro Boys takeover. It's pronounced Mega Drive.
Yeah, Sega Mega Drive. It's so much better. It's
Mega Drive. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Timothy all says, add some GBA games, and I'll pull the trigger for sure.
Yeah.
So again, we'll see what they have to reveal. I don't know why you wouldn't just reveal the full 8. Like, come on, really? Like, nobody's like, man, they told us the reveal is going to be on, like, May 21st. Mark your calendar. I'm excited to see what those other 8 old games or 4 other old games are coming to the system that I'm going to buy. I want the games that came out. I want the Castlevania games that came out in the GBA for this collection. All right. Yeah. I like that. Okay. Well done.
Yeah, there's a lot of these retro collections, and I think they do pretty well for their own reasons, especially with the absence of a virtual console.
Yeah.
Personally, for me, I'd prefer these collections. I would happily have these over the virtual console any day. Because what happens to the virtual console is you pick your games and you stick with them. Whereas these collections, they force you to have to buy games that you wouldn't normally buy. And to be honest, you end up finding some absolute gems that you never played back in the day. So I prefer this, and I hope a lot of companies get on board. It's only a matter of time before we really do see stuff like Game Boy game collections and Super NES collections and N64 collections. I'd prefer these to happen over the classics. So over an N64 classic, I'd rather just have the games on the Switch.
All right, Barry, how about yourself?
See, it's hard to tell because, like an example would be the Namco Museum collection. You know, they came for the Switch, I guess, when it first came out, and there was games there that I never even played that I just thought were pretty cool. So, I guess, like, you have both, you know, pros and cons for each kind of, you know, I guess, like a collection, you know, of a specific series or for loads of games from one, you know, publisher, like one developer. I don't know.
Yeah, that's great. All right, fair enough. Well, we'll keep an eye on what's going on with Konami and their collections. Speaking of money and spending a lot of it, ladies and gentlemen, did you guys get a chance to watch the Nindies Spring Showcase that happened today a couple of hours ago?
Ladies and gentlemen, April the 18th is officially the greatest day on the planet. Not only is it my birthday, but we're getting 2 fantastic games coming out on that day.
I would also just like to say a couple of things before we move forward. Yesterday, I woke up and I said, I thought about the Nindy Showcase. Let me tell you a story, folks. And I said, I wonder if you want, you can go through the Nintendo Dad's Twitter history. And I said, I wonder if maybe this is where they're going to reveal Cuphead. So this would be a great platform to reveal Cuphead and Ori. I looked at the rumors that were swirling around. I pulled them together and said, this is what might happen. Now, I remiss I got one of them right, Cuphead. I got the other one wrong. Who on this panel was the one who sent a GIF of a laughing dinosaur saying, ain't going to happen? Yeah. Gary Gray right there. You I'm sorry, I can't hear that apology. I can't hear Justin again. You prolific prophet, you were right about how Nintendo does stuff.
If you listen to all the rumors, one of them will eventually come true.
Shut your mouth. It worked. You actually predicted Cuphead coming to the Nintendo Switch. And of course, we just buried the byline there, folks. Cuphead coming to the Nintendo Switch. Barry Dunn, you predicted this a while ago.
Yes, and no one believes me. But do you believe me now, baby? It's true.
Well, and here's the thing, though, that you did that prediction, what, like 9 months ago?
No. Correct that. What is it? Like 15 months ago or something.
I've had 15 months ago, okay.
Okay, here we go. I retweeted this today, and I wrote this on the 2nd of October, 2017. I said, what's this? I made a dummy picture of Cuphead on the Switch with the three figures of the, what are they? The Funko Pop figures, I was saying that they were like Amiibo as such. Mm-hmm. I feel that E3, we will see Amiibo of, you know, for this game. And like no one believed me. I was like, I knew it was coming, but no one believed me. I didn't know it was coming, but I predicted it ages ago, and I stuck to it.
Yeah, it was well done. Well, let's do a bit of a rundown of this list of games. We'll have a bit of a chat about it. I also just want to start off with this. There's also some other indie information that was announced recently. Of course, Barry, you've had your own Impact Gaming Direct as well. Is there any kind of games that came out there during your session? Of course, I'd recommend heading over to Barry's YouTube channel, checking out his 90 minutes. Is it 90 minutes, Barry? Pretty close?
Yeah, 100 minutes. I know, it's pretty minutes long.
Indie coverage of upcoming games that you're able to release. Barry, anything from that you kind of want to just highlight before we jump into this collection?
Yeah, so I guess if people don't know what it is, Impact Direct is like an indie showcase, just like Justin said. So it's games that you may not have seen, you know, that have been, I guess, released, you know, beforehand. Games that were, you know, coming out soon, maybe like a week or a month, etc. And new games being shown for the very first time, not even in a Nintendo Direct, but in my Impact Direct. And two games in particular were, I guess, the very last two games. So the first one was Bouncy Bullets from Petite Games. It's a first-person shooter, colorful game. It looks pretty amazing, I think. And then I done like an interview with Levi Bond, the game composer. And then Bobby, the Nintendo guru, somehow hacked his way into my Impact Direct, and he helped me reveal the very last game. Well, we all know about it, but it was Chicken Wiggle new screens for the game. And it's, I don't know the exact day, but it's coming out soon-ish, I think. It looks pretty amazing.
Well, soon-ish better be before Mario Maker, because then you've kind of shot yourself in the foot there. So, you know, I'm a supporter of Jules and the work of Tui, and have picked up a copy of Chicken Wiggle via Kickstarter. So I'm hoping that it'll show up before Super Mario Maker, because I think that there's a lot of great things happening there. So, again, of course, if you guys have not seen Barry's video, go check it out. There's a lot of great content. But let's run down. What did you guys think of this Direct? Of this, again, Nindy's highlight, Spring Direct. Any kind of just initial thoughts before we jump off? Gary?
I think this is one of the better Nindy showcases, which is hard to say because Nindy games have got such a scope, you know, and some Nindy games, they don't show well, but they play incredibly well. Yep. And some experiences that you don't think you'd have liked until you bite the bullet, pay for them and such. But all these were visually good to look at. Like, they all showed really, really well. They all look, you know, there's a good couple of unique ones in there, some big surprises, like, especially that last one, which gave me the most raging goosebumps I think I've had in a long time. Or whatever you guys in America call it. But yeah, I was actually quite blown away by it, really. And opening with Cuphead is, again, something that I did laugh at when people were saying that it was going to be a thing. But this the whole Nintendo Xbox relationship is getting really strange now. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it because, you know, I mean, I wanted Cuphead from the second I played it at EGX. How long was it? 3 years ago now, maybe, before it was released. And, yeah, I can't wait for it. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, they you know, they've done a great job of kind of starting. They typically start with a bang, right? Usually end with a bang. They've done a really great job, you know, in the last about year, understanding their flow of the directs, right? So starting off with a kind of a really hype moment and then ending with a really hype moment. And they did fantastic here with Cuphead. And I think, you know, I was watching the chat as I was live streaming as well off of Nintendo's page. And as you could see the video rolling, people were just like, Cuphead, 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 Cuphead. And it wasn't until I was like, finally, I was like, yes, there it is. Now, interestingly enough, Gary, I do want to spend a moment into your statement there, because you're right. The relationship with Microsoft and Nintendo, man, it's getting real cozy. It's getting real cozy and comfy. Do you know what I mean? You're putting a warm blanket on it. You're not 100% sure. They're like roommates that are living together. And now all of a sudden they went from like not liking each other to like sharing the grocery bill together to now I don't know whether he's wearing his pants and those are his socks. It's all getting a little crazy up in here.
Yeah.
But I think this is a very interesting move. One of the fascinating things I thought as I heard the Direct say, and the host of the Direct said, big thanks to our friends over at Microsoft, right? So again, just highlighting that language of the relationship they have been building, right? And again, we'd heard this rumor spinning about 6 weeks ago, and this is why we kind of heard Ori was potentially part of that as well. And of course, it's all in the back of Game Pass coming to Nintendo Switch and Xbox Live, and kind of the swirling of stuff. But this obviously kind of begins to kind of ferment some things. And actually, I want to, you know, kind of on the back of this, actually talk about some more information that's came out today as well. And I'm reading this from The Verge and by Andrew Webster. So go over to The Verge if you want. Cuphead is coming to Nintendo Switch with Xbox Live support coming. So interestingly enough, right after the announcement, they actually went forth and said, even more interesting, Xbox said that Xbox Live support is coming to the Switch version of Cuphead. We'll be working with Studio MDHR to implement Xbox Live features into Cuphead on the Nintendo Switch in the coming months, the company said in a post on Xbox Wire. The news comes less than a week after after Xbox Live support came to mobile. Cuphead's going to be coming to the Switch on April 18th, available in the eShop right now to pre-order and install already. I've done that. But guys, Xbox Live is also creeping its way into the Nintendo Switch via Cuphead. I don't know enough about Xbox Live to understand what this means. Can you break this down for me, Barry?
Yeah, so I guess someone who has an Xbox, you know, myself here. See, Xbox Live is sort of part of Minecraft anyway on the Switch. You know, with the whole, I guess, with the store. Because, like, if you buy it on, like, since it's, Bedrock Edition, you know, because it's pretty much on all platforms now, apart from PS4. you know, we dig there. So basically, if you buy it on one system, if you get me, you get it on all platforms. You can just download it. So it's right across all, which is what I wanted years ago. Remember with the whole thing, like if you bought skins or with the Master Packs on the Wii U, could we get them for free on Switch? No, that wasn't the case. But now Xbox Live is that system where we can buy it on one, we'll get it on all of them, like download for free, no problem. So I don't know what way it's going to work. Maybe is it a game save thing? If you get me from Xbox to the Switch, you know, you can update your game. I don't know how that would work, though.
Yeah, I think it'd be very interesting to see that Xbox is already creeping its way into the system, and that potentially Cuphead is the Trojan horse that we have all been yelling for to arrive in our gates. We'll be mighty happy when it arrives. But I do think it is very interesting. Go over a chat here. Adam Leonard, of course, the amazing Adam Leonard, big fan and supporter of the show. Adam says, Xbox Live is what a good online infrastructure looks like. And I absolutely agree with that. And of course, if there is any spot, Adam, that Nintendo falls down the most, it is in their online infrastructure. So if they can beg, borrow, and steal anything from Xbox, I hope it's a proper online structure. And if Cuphead can give them a little bit of that structure or can be used in that way to begin testing ideas or seeing how it works, I'm all for it. I think it'd be absolutely fantastic. A couple of things from Cuphead that I kind of wonder, I don't know if you guys are aware of it. If I remember correctly, and again, I remember seeing at Xbox's E3 conference last year that they had a new DLC coming to Cuphead in 2019. I don't think that's been released yet. No. And I wonder if that comes to the Xbox or Nintendo Switch as well, or if there's going to be a timed exclusivity around that. Of course, comes to Xbox first for a month and a half and then comes to Switch as well. Not 100% sure.
I think it's on a release day as well. I think it's on a release day for Switch. It's coming to Xbox the same day. So yeah, that's all three.
Yeah, I read earlier that it's coming the same day, April 18th.
Oh, really? It's the update's going to be coming everything in. Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. I am pumped to be playing this. Like I said, I've already downloaded it. I've got it pre-installed. This has been on my like wish list. This is, again, you know, people ask like, hey, Justin, you don't own an Xbox. But there are games that if I'm starting to see games from Xbox coming over, that's cool. I don't need to own one. I'm happy with that. That is fantastic. Let's jump into a couple more of these games we're going to break down, guys. We went from Cuphead. Now, I'm actually reading right off the Nintendo Press page room that we have access to. So I'm not off of any page. A couple of the games I just want to talk about. These are in actually just the order that it was provided to me in my document, although I am saving one for last. Stranger Things 3, the game, comes out on July 4th. This is in line with the Netflix debut of season number 3 as well. Looks like it's going to be a retro-style adventure. This is done by Bonus XP as well. And, of course, you explore Hawkins solving mysteries and teaming up for local play, local co-op to battle against emerging evils from the Upside Down as one of 12 playable characters. Guys, either of you guys Stranger Things fans?
Nope.
Yeah.
I don't have Netflix. Barry's the one to talk about this one.
Okay. Barry, I was a huge, I love Stranger Things as well. As a matter of fact, Stranger Things season 3 trailer dropped today.
Trailer was out, yeah.
Trailer dropped today, so good timing with this. Strategic, maybe. Barry, excited to give a shot?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I don't know, I was maybe most impressed with this game today, with the Stranger Things. Maybe, I think visually it looks stunning. Like I know it's like a 2D kind of pixel roguelike game as such, but it just looks pretty cool, I think. Like, it's not every day we get to see like a game based on another TV show that looks fun. Because they haven't really got a good history, have they?
Yeah, you know? No, typically not. So we'll see how that one goes off, but I thought an alright art style. Next one we'll talk about is Red Lantern. Now, Red Lantern, this is all about the challenges of players to survive the Alaskan tundra with a team of 5 sled dogs. The musher becomes lost while traveling training for the grueling race and must fend off bears, resist frostbite, and take care of the dogs while navigating the wilderness. It's coming to the Nintendo Switch later this year. I feel bad for the dog who got attacked by the bear. You know, that kind of broke my heart. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a huge animal person, but that one hit me right in the feelings. I didn't like that.
I think this game looks absolutely fantastic. It looks quite really unique and interesting. Quite surprised when they said that the gyros only work in handheld. I wonder if that was a mistake or whether that is the actual fact that it's only going to work in handheld. But either way, I mean, I probably won't use the gyro controls on it anyway. But it does look like a really interesting sort of spin on the roguelike genre, which I'm not actually that much of a fan of. But this looks like it's my sort of game.
Yeah, and I thought even the introduction they had to it as well was very dramatic. It kind of definitely felt like there was an emotional story there, right? Kind of reminded me a little bit, just as I was hearing the voiceover, a little bit of like maybe Firewatch, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of the emotional story that kind of sets the action or the event on. So I thought it was very interesting. So we'll keep an eye on that one as well. Next we're going over to is Rad by Double Fine Productions and Namco Bandai. It's a 3D action roguelite set in the post-apocalyptic world. And as a teenager protagonist, the player must journey into the fallow, an ever-changing procedurally generated wasteland that holds secrets of the past and answers the future. Here, radioactive toxins will randomly mutate your character, giving them powerful new abilities that challenge you to consistently adapt your playstyle. This game's going to be coming out in the summer of this year. Rad from Double Fine Productions. This reminded me a little bit of, and Barry, I don't know if you got this vibe, a little bit of Away, Journey to the Unexpected, and which is kind of the mutant wasteland components of it and these kind of abilities, and a little bit of the team that does Transistor and Bastion currently has a game called Hades Double Punch, I think, or something like that. I have to research it, but it kind of reminded me just of that kind of view, that view perspective. So I don't know. What did you guys think of this, of Rad?
This one was the one that I was torn on, because in some points it looks really good and in others it looks a bit bare-boned. I don't know. It's a strange one to me. Some of the mutations look really interesting. And the egg laying thing was pretty strange, which I'm all for.
Sure.
But Barry, what do you think of this?
Yeah, like I'm watching some of the trailer now, and I just think it's, I guess it's colorful. Like it does like stand out for me anyway, you know, and it's, I guess it's different, you know, I guess I like that in a video game, something different, you know, not just a typical, you know, game that we get every day. But I guess I'm not going to judge, you know, too much because I want to see actually, you know, be able to play it first and then, you know, talk about it like.
Right. Sure. All right. So that one's definitely interesting. Another one that's actually available right now for pre-purchase on the Nintendo Switch coming out April 18th. April 18th, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be a very busy day for you playing video games. And, of course, Gary celebrating his birthday, so happy birthday there. Katana Zero, Devolver Digital, and AskSoft have created a stylized neo-noir action platformer featuring breakneck action and instant death combo. Players play the role of an assassin, the dragon to slash dash and manipulate time to unravel their past in a beautiful, brutal aerobatic display. Jeez, now this one looked kind of cool. Looked like a platformer with ninjas, and kind of reminded me a little bit of maybe a bit of The Messenger with a little bit of the Marka Ninja, and I don't know, any 8-bit tube, you know, side scrolling game.
Yeah, this one looks really interesting. It's a shame that it's the same day as Cuphead, because
yeah, a little bit, right?
Kind of quite some competition there.
Kind of a sucky day to land on.
Yeah, but I mean, this was one of the highlights for me as well. I think the two of the three games that I'm definitely in with is Cuphead, this, and one we'll get to later on. It looks. It does kind of look a little bit like Dead Cells and The Messenger, which is something that, you know, is top of everybody's indie list. So great sort of look to go for. So
Adam Leonard, Supergiant Games. Thank you for keeping me honest. You're a good man despite what everyone thinks of you or says about you, especially John and Eric.
Wow.
Let's see what else we got here, folks. Yeah, that one's definitely, again, available for pre-order right now. Next one is Nuclear Throne. It's a post-apocalyptic roguelike. Good Lord, a lot of those. Top-down shooter challenge players to fight their way through wastelands and power it with powerful weaponry, collect radiations to mutate some new limbs and abilities. The game offers 12-player characters, 7 playable main worlds, 30 ways to mutate characters, and over 120 weapons. The game launched on the Nintendo Switch today, actually. So Nuclear Throne is out right now. I think this is like the second one they showed, and it was kind of like it reminded me of Into the Breach, where every scene was kind of like just a couple of tiles, essentially. You had to decide there were zombies. Am I right on that one? I'm going to do a quick search on that. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it looked like Into the Breach. It definitely did. It's a really interesting sort of thing that the isometric games are coming back. Like, I feel like the last couple of years that the old school isometric games of the PC world are sort of slowly having this mini revival, because we got games like Bad North as well, which are along the same lines. Mm-hmm. I didn't play Into the Breach, so when this comes out, it is out. If I were going to go for one or the other, I think I'd go for this one over Into the Breach, even though Into the Breach supposed to be amazing. This one looks like it's got a bit more of a uniqueness to it.
I think I am wrong. This is not the game I thought it was. This is definitely not the game I thought it was. Give Nuclear Throne a quick Google here, folks, because that is not the game I was thinking of.
Yeah, I think I've got the wrong one as well.
Yeah, I think we do. That's a problem, right? You're releasing too many post-apocalyptic games.
Yeah.
Nuclear Throne, though, once you look it on the eShop and you like it, maybe buy it. I don't know, but it's out today. Moving on. Super Crate Box, which will be launching in April. Definitely not what you're looking for there, Gary?
Definitely not the one I was thinking of now.
Nope. So there's actually a couple of ones from Vlanberg's. Super Crate Box is coming to its golden age of arcade. Real Maddie are getting high scores, includes 2 cooperative and competitive modes. They also have this game called Ultra Bugs that comes out. I don't know. Any, do either of these stand out for you guys? Like I hate to be a jerk. I'm like reading through these press releases, and somebody spent a lot of time writing them, and a lot of people create amazing games, but like none of this stood out for me.
All right. I don't know.
But you like crappy games, Barry, so does this appeal to you?
That's rude. Thank you, but rude.
But true.
I feel like I played it before, put it that way.
Okay.
You know, it just feels like something that I've seen or played before, but I don't know, I'm not really into it, being honest.
Okay, that's not really fair enough. If this was for you or for someone out there, and we're like, we didn't give it enough love here, please let me know. Definitely not quite piquing my interest. Next one is my friend Pedro, Devolver Digital, and Dead Toast deliver what is undoubtedly the first game of friendships, imagination, and one man's struggle to obliterate anyone in his path at the behest of his sentient banana. Yeah, okay.
So the game that me and you was getting it confused with, because we both made the same mistake, was Overland.
Yeah.
Yeah, Overland was the one that looks really cool, that's kind of like Into the Breach, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to come out in June. This looks actually kind of cool. This looks like the second time we've seen some shots of my friend Pedro. Devolver Digital's always got some good stuff up their sleeve. Typically, it's very much a kind of a aerobatical kind of, you know, ricochet shooter kind of game. I think it looks pretty cool, actually. Next one, Creature in the Well. It is a pinball inspired hack and slash. What do you guys think of this one?
I think this one looked really, really cool.
Yeah.
I do quite like pinball games, but not the straight pinball ones, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So Yoku's Island Express, Sonic Spinball, the classic. So this one looks like it's up there with those. You know, a bit of a unique spin on a pinball game. There's not too much to say about it. I mean, it looks fairly straightforward. It looks like you hit a ball around and try and knock some panels down and that lets you progress. But it does. There's something about it which is just caught my eye and sort of drawn me in. So it's definitely on my radar.
Sure. Excellent. Barry, what about you?
I'm more interested in Darkwood, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah. Well, when we get to that one, let's chat about that. All right. I like that. Okay. Another game that was out today, Blaster Master 02, Sorry?
I have no interest in Blaster Master 02 at all.
I watched it. I was like, is this just not Blaster Master the remaster one that came out? Is this just not Blaster Master 02 remaster? Now, of course, probably timely because they released Blaster Master on the Nintendo Switch Online not too long ago, right? So it's probably a nice little like, hey, remember this thing? It's out today. I think it's like a tenner. I don't know. You guys interested in this at all?
My little brother's a huge fan of Blaster Master Zero, so he's been constantly telling me to get it. I played the demo of Blaster Master Zero, and I wasn't too fussed about it. So unfortunately, this one's a miss for me as well. But people who like these games really, really love these games. Yeah. So
INT creates, they make pretty good games.
Yeah, so it's definitely a game that people wanted. So I'm happy for them, but I don't know. For me, it's not my sort of game.
Okay, cool. Well, maybe Pine is a game for you, and it is a open world adventure with beautiful biomes to explore, puzzles to solve, and secrets to discover. Players take on the role as Hugh, a brave young adult who belongs to the last remaining tribe of humans on the island. The island factions trade and fight with each other over food and territory, while Hugh learns about ways to influence the ecology in search of a new home. And it comes out in August of 2019. This looked to me like Fable meets Breath of the Wild, is I think what they were trying to go for here. What'd you guys think of this one, Pine?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I don't know what to think of it because there wasn't really much gameplay as such. Mm-hmm. It was very cinematic trailer. So from what we can see, it looks amazing. But I'm kind of curious as to how it actually plays because I don't feel like I've got a good grasp of that from the trailer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the graphics look really cool on it. So it looks like something that I'd be interested in.
Yeah, definitely. Big shout out, third strongest mole in the chat says, I just cleared the first planet in Blaster Master 02. All right. Thank you, third strongest mole. Let us know how is it going. Throw it in the chat. Let us know. What do you think? If you had to give it a scale of, let's say, out of 5, what would you give it? Throw me in that chat so we know, so that you can maybe help people make some buying decisions if they want. All right, next one, Blood Roots. And this is a ultra-violence, delivers ultra-violence in a twisted Western revenge tale with a deranged cast of characters betrayed and left for dead. Mr. Wolf is hell-bent on finding his attacker and extracting revenge. Players can choreograph spectacular bloody combos by making use of everything around them, from hatchets and ladders to carrots. The game is going to launch in summer of 2019. You guys, Blood Roots is a very short trailer. What do you guys think of this one?
I think this one, the gameplay looks so cool. Like the way that the moves are executed, and you go from like running across a barrel to jumping up like a wall, and it just looked really sort of interesting how fluent they made the gameplay, as opposed to chucking in some other gimmicks, which other games do, like a certain gun or something. It just looks like the environment is the actual weaponry in it. So I think this one looks really cool. I think this is probably one of the best showing games in this direct. So I'm excited for it. Plus, I mean, look at the hero in it. He's the fine, manly specimen of a manly man, if there ever was one. He's what all us dads want to aspire to.
Or maybe you just fancy him. I'm reading here, someone describes it as Jackie Chan meets The Revenant, which I would say...
Oh, yeah.
I agree with that.
A good way to describe it. Nothing wrong with it. Jackie Chan, I like that. This just in, breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Third Strongest Mole gives 4 out of 5 moles thus far to the Blaster Master 02. Seems like there's some improvements over the original. So thank you for that. If you guys are looking for a potentially game, Blaster Master 2 or Blaster Master 02 out right now, 4 out of 5 from our main man, Third Strongest Mole. So appreciate that. All right, let's check out what else we got here. Overland, this was the game we were talking about before with that kind of Into the Breach look that was going for it. You guys want to throw anything else about this one you want to talk about? It reminds me of Walking Dead. Do you know what I mean? Like the music queued up, it reminded me instantly of Walking Dead.
I just want to say sorry to Creature in the Well because we got the games mixed up and this is the one that looks really cool. I'm sorry. I think we've said everything that we needed to say about it. It looks awesome. Sorry for the mix up, guys, but we are thumbling idiots of dads and Barry. So
we are 3 idiots on the internet talking. So, you know, take that for whatever you want it to be. But yeah, this looks interesting as well. This will probably be a pickup for you there, Gary or Barry. Anyone? Both? Either of you?
It depends because I've got a really tight schedule at the minute with stuff going
on.
Well,
good news, Gary, it doesn't release until fall.
Ah, which is exactly when my next bout of uni starts.
There you go. Barry, I want to throw this one to you, Darkwood.
Yes, okay.
You said you were interested in this. Why Darkwood? I gotta reopen this to remember what Darkwood was.
Okay. I have a sort of a confession to make about this game. I sort of knew it was coming to Switch, but I didn't know when the announcement was going to be made like. So okay. I actually contacted the developers about getting it from Impact Direct, believe it or not. In January, I contacted them. But they were like, basically, they can't spill the beans yet, but there's hopefully an announcement coming soon in an email. But because I actually had contacted them about bringing the game to PS4, you know, Xbox and Switch, but they couldn't send it to me directly. So I kind of got the heads up there, you know, with it. But I'm pretty excited about it. It looks pretty cool. I like the whole kind of the dark tone of it and
Wobble Puffet? Wobble Buffet?
Which is what I want, like, in a game. It looks like that there.
Yeah, looking through this, definitely, you know, for sort of first and foremost, folks, this is an M-rated game for sure. Just like Barry swearing, an M-rating. I'd just be aware of that. I went over to Nintendo's site. I did have to enter in my age. So definitely probably not something you're playing with the kiddies necessarily. But yeah, definitely kind of a horror survival horror game is definitely it. Excuse me. These kind of games interest you, Barry?
Well, yeah, I see, the thing is, I love horror games, but I guess the majority of them, I'm really scared of them, or just bad at them, like, yeah. You know, some games are okay, like Vaccine, but it isn't that scary, or, I don't know, this game looks, look, that's scary, but looks pretty cool, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. I like
it. I hate scary games. Not a fan. Straight out, not a fan. So I was like, nope, standard arrival. But I'm glad somebody likes them, right? As long as somebody else likes them, that's the important part.
PT.
Couple more games I want to round out before we go to kind of like the final big one that we want to talk about. Neo Cab. I watched this and I was like, so you want me to play as an Uber driver? Is that what we're doing here now? They talked about like you have to balance the, you know, the challenges of fuel and picking up people and, you know, the strains of paying your bills. And I'm like, I use video games to escape, not my usual, like, let's just repeat what I'm currently doing. So this is kind of interesting. You're the last human driver on the neon trench streets in California, interacting with a diversity character of casts and individual story arcs. Players must balance their income, sustain a positive rating, and manage their emotions as fulfilling drives as a rideshare driver. The only way they might reunite with his best friend, who mysteriously has gone missing. So essentially, someone has kidnapped your best friend, and you have to be an Uber driver to save them.
All right.
Cool. Yeah, next game. I mean,
there's a lot of these sort of interactive comic sort of games come out. They can be quite enjoyable, to be honest. I mean, the premise of them is always bad. But when you're actually hands-on with them and you get involved in the story, then they actually sort of open up and become almost like a TV drama. So I think it might actually be worth a shot playing this. So, Justy, we're going to give it this game to you. When it comes out, you're going to buy it and you're going to love it. And yeah.
No, hard pass. Hard pass. Well, the game will be coming out in this summer as well. Moving on to our next one. Then we have our final one, Swim Sanity, coming out in the summer. It's a deep dive multiplayer underwater shooter with action-packed co-op and versus game modes, all supported with online and local. The game comes with the ocean of content, more than 150 challenges across 8 game modes. Players can toggle between classic dual stick controls and motion aiming while they're playing online or local. So, yeah.
Yeah, this it looks kind of interesting, but, you know, there's a lot of these sort of four-player shooting games. The difference with this one is that it's underwater. Yeah. If you're a fan of shoot-em-ups or shmups, as the kids say nowadays, then it looks like a pretty decent one, but it does kind of look like a lot of other shooters, pretty much, except for the fact it's underwater. Mm-hmm. Barry, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I feel like it's a bit like everything else, but the only difference is I get like they're changing some of the, I guess, the pressure, you know, of I guess the distance of them falling, like the speed and stuff. So I don't see that much of a difference. If you get me, I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a go, but. No, but like the first thing that comes to like water shooting games like that, there like 2D games is Aqua Kitty DX kind of, but I don't know.
Yeah, it did have some big interesting looking boss fights. The trailer shows are really good. That's drawing me in, if I'm being honest. I am a bit of a fan of the shooters. I wouldn't say I'm a raging schmuck fan, but it does look pretty interesting from the boss fights point of view. But normally it's hard for me to get to. Two-player, never mind, four-player. So this definitely looks more like a party game.
Yeah. Folks, that was kind of the meat between Cuphead as our starter and kind of everything between. I think a little bit that, you know, as always, maybe not every game was for you, maybe somewhere, but I think, you know, again, Nintendo's done a really great job with their direct set. You'll find something in there that probably catches your interest in some way, right? You know, we're talking about their games that aren't interesting to us, but there are definitely probably games that are interesting to everyone. We'd love to know what those are for you as well. Let us know by either sending us a tweet what game you're excited about, or obviously dropping into our chat as well. Now, of course, as I mentioned, Nintendo's been really good at starting off with a bang and ending with a bang. And this was kind of the next one. Now, I was betting that this was going to be Ori. to be honest. I thought this was where Ori was going to come in if we were going to do it. But instead they jumped into Crypt. Well, Cadence of Hyrule, Crypt of the Necro Dancer, featuring the Legend of Zelda. So this was interesting as the game kind of, you know, the art style peak mentions like, oh, this kind of looks cool. And they kind of came up with the Legend of Zelda, and I'm watching a chat and everyone's like, oh man, it definitely looks like Link Between Worlds or Link to the Past. And you're like, yeah, it definitely kind of has that look, that vibe, right? Blossom Tale did the same thing. And then all of a sudden you heard the music, right? And I was like, wait, what? No. I was like, okay, so they're blatantly ripping this off. And then who shows up? But of course, Link and Zelda. And this was like, what? What just happened here? So I'm going to read through the byline here. In the latest rhythmic adventure game from Brace Yourself Games, you can enjoy the gameplay of Crypt of the Necro Dancer in the setting of the Legend of Zelda series. As Link or Princess Zelda, players explore randomly generated overworld and dungeons on a quest to save Hyrule, and every beat of the 25 remix Legend of Zelda tunes is a chance to move, attack, defend, and more. From modern looking lions to the Hyrulean soldier of old, players must master the instinctive movement of each pixel art enemy and strategically outstep them in rhythmic combat using an arsenal of iconic items from The Legend of Zelda, as well as spells and weapons from the Crypt of the Necro Dancer. The game is scheduled to launch this spring. This for me was the other, like, what hype moment. Like, this was like, I didn't play the original Crypt of the Necro Dancer, but now I'm interested. And this has got me very... What did you guys think of this?
Crypt of the Necrodancer is one of the greatest indie games on the Nintendo Switch. I will fight my corner for that one. It's unique. It's polished. It's beautiful. It's chaotic. Its music is amazing. It's just got the perfect recipe for the perfect indie game. That just that right amount of unique and that right amount of nostalgia and mixed in a pot. So... throw in the Zelda thing in there. It's something that you always dream of with these sort of games, you know, especially the retro inspired. You always think, oh, wouldn't this be cool if it was palette swapped to Zelda? You know, we have games like Kamiko and stuff like that. And you always think that little bit of, you know, we could take this and put Zelda in it and it would be just that tiny bit more awesome. Did never expected it to come from Crypt of the Necrodancer. And I couldn't be more excited for an indie game this year.
Yeah, is this kind of like
a top? I mean, Cuphead, as soon as that was revealed, it's like, that's it. That's won the Indie Wars for me this year. This could just top it. This could very much just top it. And not just because it's Zelda, but because Crypt of the Necrodancer was so good in the first place. So, you know, it deserved a sequel. But yeah, it's Zelda. But I'm not going to lie. Yeah, it's Zelda. This is it. This has done it.
Yeah, instant hype just adds Zelda. Like instant Kool-Aid, right? Barry, how about you?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I guess I have a weird thing of how I discovered Necrodancer. There's a game called Quest of Dungeons that came out for Switch as well, you know, Wii U and 3DS. And one of the characters, bonus characters, spoiler, is actually Necrodancer in it. And then I've seen the game before. I haven't played it. I was like, doesn't look too bad. And then the fact that they showed off today, and then the whole Zelda thing, it just kind of makes sense. But like, it has that, you know, like real kind of Zelda feel to it as well. I'll give it a go, but it looks pretty cool. I must say, I want to see more footage personally. You know, more gameplay, and then, like, not just a trailer, and you know, give it a whirl. Like, looks pretty cool though. The music is badass though.
Yeah. So have you got Crypt? Sorry, have you played Crypt of Necrodancer, Barry?
No, I haven't.
No, I haven't. Actually,
I was looking up as you were talking about it.
Yeah, it's been in the sale quite a lot. If it swings around your sale again, anybody in the chat, that's my suggestion, is to just pick it up. Quest for Dungeons, I actually have that one as well, Barry. I really enjoyed that game.
Amazing game,
I think if you like that, you will guarantee to like Crypt of Necrodancer.
And this is an FYI, is coming out at the spring scheduled launch this spring. Now, Nintendo Spring, just for those of you that are wondering what that actually is for them, their spring is April to the end of June. April 1st to the end of June is their spring window. So just as a kind of an FYI for that one. We're currently in their winter months, by the way, just as an FYI. I thought fantastic. Fantastic job, right? Just a ton of great content. They also ended just before they ended as well, that there are a ton of indie games on sale right now. If you want to jump in and save some money, you can find such games as Firewatch, as I mentioned earlier, or Yokai's Island Express, Donut County, Iconoclast. There is a schwackload of indie games that are on sale right now. And if you're like, wow, I don't really know which games I should select, just hit us up. Let us know, and we can help you. We can direct. We've played a ton of them ourselves. So we've got some that we would highly recommend for you.
Yeah.
Guys, any other final thoughts on the Nindy showcase?
Yeah, I feel, Justin, like, I guess me that does these directs as well. Like, I would have ended with Zelda as well, but I mean, like, as a surprise, like, no one expected it all. I would have ended off with Cuphead personally, just to edit the blue, because no one would have expected it at all.
Sure,
I think. Like, for me, yeah. Cuphead is a bigger surprise than the whole Necrodancer thing.
Yeah, I think probably. I think that one's probably the bigger hype one. Barry, what about yourself? Or sorry, Gary, what about yourself?
I'm actually in disagreement with it being more of a surprise. I think the people predicted it and people saw it coming. Just didn't know when or in what capacity. The Crypt of the Necrodancer Zelda thing, not a peep. Nobody ever said that. Nobody on the internet saw that coming.
Well, the thing that I am kind of interested in about that, Gary, is that there had been a rumor that we were going to be getting another Zelda on the Nintendo Switch this year. Another appearance of Zelda. Is that it?
I think it probably is. Just like Pikmin 4 was definitely, hey, Pikmin. Sure. Deep cuts. Sorry. Yeah, it is quite late here. But I mean, as a whole, I think that this Direct was amazing. I think the two bookend games were perfect. And let's just talk about how weird and awesome that Cuphead trailer was, because I want one of those masks to stay on my milk in my tea now. And, you know, them making this little song about how Cuphead's coming to the Switch was just, it was just perfect. It was the perfect trailer. It showed exactly how weird that game is. And how awesome it is, and a good showcase of the music as well. So, I always look forward to these indie directs. I know that there's a lot of complaints sometimes that other games don't get the showcase that these do.
That's why you have me for Impact Direct.
That's why we have Barry, yeah. But
someone's got to play that role.
Look, there's such a good collection of games in this Direct. You know, if our first party lineup and our major releases weren't enough, this is alongside them. This is going to be a mad year, guys, for games. And it's starting from Final Fantasy VII next week, and it's not going to stop.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's going to be... I try and, like, hey, this month I'm not gonna buy any games. I'm like, yeah, I'm weak. So it's got some good, absolutely great stuff. So I think that's it for that. Let's kind of, let me just check our chat here. I think that's kind of the big nugget items we want to chat about. Nothing in the chat here. Guys, thanks again for joining us in the chat. We appreciate that. Oh, I guess the other thing I'd be remiss, I don't know if I mentioned it, Castle Crashers coming. Finally got official confirmation of that. That was rumored last week. That was one of our rumor items last week. Officially has now been confirmed coming over the Nintendo Switch as well from the Behemoth. So I know that Marty's going to be happy about that as well. So
yeah, I think we'll talk about that a lot more next week.
I suspect as much. Hey, guys, is that it for rumors? Is that it for news? Is that for everything we got to chat about?
That is it. But we have got some games that we've all been playing. Kind of. I mean, I haven't been playing a ton, but Justin, do you want to go ahead and tell people what's been in your Switch or other devices, maybe?
Sure. I don't have any other devices. I don't have that, so I'm not fancy like that. What have I been playing? Actually, my wife and I, Jody, we finished Yokai Island Express. last week. We played it together, and actually by playing it together, she played the entire game, and I sat on the couch and like coached her and helped her and helped her solve things. It was a great experience, absolutely fantastic. I love playing games myself, obviously, but sometimes just being able to watch her enjoy it, and when she finds a game she really loves and gets passionate about, I love kind of being there to support her as well. It's kind of the same thing with Stardew Valley when she jumped into that. So that was kind of the big one last week. And I jumped into about an hour of Firewatch. This is actually off the recommendation of Adam and John from Mega Dads. I think John specifically was a big fan of it. So I picked it up and really enjoying it. Some fantastic storytelling. Some fantastic, just really well done, right? I was actually kind of expecting us to see Campo Santo's other one in this spring direct as well. And actually, so I want to take a quick pause there. For a spring showcase, anyone noticed that like almost nothing was coming out in the spring? Just a general comment, but I'll move on. Just a couple of games, but like not a lot. Those have kind of been the ones I've been playing. I'm also, by the way, for anyone who's listening to this, I'm having difficulty logging into Paladins. They have done some big systems update, and now I can't get into Paladins, and it won't allow me to use my Nintendo Switch code at all, as in I can't use Nintendo Switch Online to get in. And they asked me to do some weird account thing, and I'm trying to get it solved, and it's irritating me. I know that somebody on our Twitter reached out to me and said, delete it and reinstall it, and I did that, and it didn't seem to fix the problem. So I'm a little bit frustrated on that one, but, you know, that's it. Barry, what have you been playing?
Well, actually, just yesterday, this arrived. It's a Super Destronaut DX Intruders Edition for the PlayStation Vita. The game is on Switch as well, but it's not the Intruders Edition. It comes with, I guess, like exclusive modes, music, etc. But something I'm actually part of. My voice acting is in it, so it's pretty cool.
That's great.
And thanks, I think. But I bought this today. Axiom Verge, the collector's edition for Switch.
Is that on the Wii U?
Yeah, it's coming to, I guess, limited run is doing the, I think they're selling it next week. I am going to purchase it because, like, I'm not going to get into the whole controversy of, you know, Badlands and, you know, Thomas Happ. But, I want to, I guess, support the guy because of what happened, you know.
Yeah, Axiom Verge is a fantastic game. I have bought it twice. A little bit kind of like you of, I also just believe in supporting amazing content creators, and I'll be happy to pay for that one twice. That's great. It's great. And they've got a good map in that one too, right? That's a collector's edition with the map and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I see. Actually, what's funny is the Wii U version next week, the physical one is collector's edition too.
Okay.
So like, I'm going to have the same thing twice, but I don't mind, you know, I'm helping the guy out. Like,
Yeah, it's great. Fantastic Metroidvania game. If you guys have not played Axiom Verge, that one's on sale quite often as well. Check that one out or go and buy it for full price. It's well worth every penny. I can promise you that. Yeah. Barry, what else are you playing? Anything else?
Me? What else are we playing? Actually, I'm not playing it. I saw a game last night that's coming to console, but I can't say what it is. I'm just going to tease you right now.
It's a horrible tease.
Of course it is. It's horrible. Right. Say that. Right. Okay. You're welcome, Justin.
Thank you.
So I haven't been playing an awful lot, but I have been playing Ground Shatter and Rising Stars Rico,
right,
which has got some ties to Thunderfall Publishing as well. I've really been enjoying this game. We have got a Let's Play coming. It's been a long time coming, but it is coming pretty soon upon the Nintendo Dad's YouTube channel, most likely Thursday or Friday. Great couch co-op game. If you manage to play two-player with someone else in the room, it's amazing. It's like a kick the doors down and shoot everyone in the room sort of procedurally generated game with progression and roguelike elements. As a first person shooter, it is more like a roguelike game than a standard first person shooter. So it's not the Call of Duty experience or anything like that. It is literally a buddy shooter. You basically go through these rooms, taking out the bad guys in Hitman sort of Max Payne or whatever slowdown, and a bit of bullet time there. And it's got some online elements as well. I haven't got dived too much into those. The one thing I will say is, as a solo single player game, it does get a little bit repetitive because every time you get knocked out, as you guys know, some roguelikes can be like that. You have to start all over again, and they do throw you into this awful first level every single time called the Kill House, which is basically target practice. But after playing it for the fourth time, you kind of get a little bit sick of killing cardboard cutouts. But yeah, I have actually been really enjoying it. It was a game I had to sort of grow on me a little bit. Like first couple of playthroughs, I wasn't so interested. But now I find myself loading it up pretty much every time I've booted up my Switch. And other than that, I've attempted to download Jagalia Lost, but thanks to having an iPhone, my memory's full, as usual. So I haven't got around to that yet, because that's a fairly new release in the European regions. But it doesn't look like I'm going to get a chance to play that. But I have got it attempting to install. And I'm playing one of the biggest games on the 3DS this year, which is one of two, which is Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn.
Right.
So, I'm not a Kirby fan, but the last two Kirby games that I've owned have both been 3DS ones, and I've enjoyed both of them. But I didn't realize I would love this game half as much as I have been enjoying it. It's just so relaxing and laid back, and there's no lives, and there's nothing, no real danger in it. It's just a sort of, it's a bedtime game for sure. But one of the main reasons that I got this game is because of my four-year-old daughter. We are the Nintendo dads, after all, and Barry. And she's been...
Sorry.
She's been absolutely loving it. She's a bit young, really, in the gaming for gaming as a whole. I, 4-year-old, they struggle with concepts like running jumps and stuff like that. But Kirby's just the right balance that she can actually get through the levels and complete them. And I don't have to have too much input on it. But she's actually been doing a lot more gaming than me lately. She's been playing Mario Odyssey, which is a crazy thing. But she's been finding moons that I haven't found on it, which is embarrassing and awesome at the same time. And it's just great seeing, basically a 4-year-old playing games that I didn't think she'd be able to play and doing well on them. It's kind of a proud dad moment, and she continues to amaze me. I mean, the first time she completed a level, which was Sonic Mania, she did it in under 2 minutes, and I was blown away by that. And now she just continuously impresses me on everything that she plays. So I think we need to get her on this podcast at some point, because she's probably going to be better at this than me as well.
Probably. I mean, at least when I ask her what she's been playing, she can ramble off for a little bit. You've been like, well, I kind of been doing this thing in life and school. Like, I don't need that excuse, all right? I would also say, if you have not an opportunity, head over to our YouTube channel. Gary and his daughter do some fantastically adorable Let's Plays together. So make sure you check that out. Give them a like and subscribe, because it's pretty fantastic. Excited to see what happens when they get their hands on Yoshi's Woolly World, or Crafted World, sorry. And that in the future as well.
Yeah, and Dark Souls playthroughs next week. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'm excited to see your place in Dark Souls.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Guess the words I learned from Daddy this week. All right, guys, cool. That's what we've been playing. We're going to jump in. We're going to wrap it up here in a couple moments. We got a couple quick questions I do want to answer that have come into us. This one came out to one of our calls on Twitter from Adam Land, asks, the rumor, I heard the rumor mill that Nintendo are thinking about making a mobile phone. Do you think there's anything in this, and what kind of software and features would it support? Yeah, a little bit of a rumor that Nintendo might be doing mobile phones in the future. Guys, what do you think? Any weight behind this rumor?
It's something that I've wanted for a very long time. I used to own a Nokia N-Gage. Which, if you guys remember, that was a Nokia phone that actually had a cartridge slot. It had a port of Sonic Advance, Pandemonium off the PS1, Tomb Raider off the PS1. It was a pretty good device. Times have changed, and obviously everything is digital now. And I think that Nintendo putting their games onto mobile phones in the first place is a sign that they could do their own hardware, although I don't think it's necessary. But if they did it, I don't know what I'd expect. I'd imagine that it would not be a competitor to the other phones on the market, and it'd in fact be a cheap phone. or cheaper phone anyway. And I reckon they'd probably put a D-pad and two buttons on it and shoulder buttons and basically have a Game Boy Advance with phone capabilities, in which case I'm sold. I'm in.
Yeah. I'd love for there to be like the Messenger app just to be Captain Toad with an envelope. Ooh, and every time you get a text, it's like, hello, hello. And like, you can't change that at all. And I think that would be pretty, pretty fantastic.
It would either be that or the weird bunny off the Badge Arcade.
Yeah. 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 I think there's a lot of great things.
Or Lucy, whatever you call her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, off the flip note. I know what you're on about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. It'd be interesting. If they get their own actual hardware, that would be a very interesting place to be. But they've got a lot in the software components they still need to figure out, especially if their game's coming up soon. Barry, anything you'd want to see from them?
Yeah, I feel like we've been talking about this for years, I guess, on and off, the whole kind of Nintendo phone thing. Is it going to happen? Is it not? But I feel if it is going to happen soon, maybe this year or whatever, next year, we'll just get like a copy of, I guess, like the Wii U gamepad, because I feel like they'll release some sort of peripheral where you can stick in your Joy-Cons. But like they'll have like a, for talk's sake, maybe like a 5.5-6-inch screen that you stick into it, but the Joy-Cons will fit in perfectly. You don't even know it's a different size. And then have it as a second screen experience for Mario Maker. It could help out, even for Splatoon, you know, has the Nintendo Switch online features, you know, for messaging or sending, even looking online, browser, looking for tips and stuff. I feel that'll kind of be it, but I don't know. Will it be like a proper...
Yeah, I mean, here's my thought. Nintendo can't figure out online infrastructure properly yet. I don't feel like they can figure out how to really jump in the telecommunications.
Yeah, that's the pool I'm in. It's like they know hardware, they know software to a point, but do they really know phone technology? Probably not. It would have to be a partnership with someone. Yeah, and it's kind of a bit of a weird market as it is. And I mean, we as going back to the start of this podcast, Google have got their fingers in that pie with the Google phone, the Pixel.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I think that if they did enter the market, it would do mediocre and then it would fizzle out very fast. So I don't know. As much as I'd love it, I don't really see it happening.
Fair enough. All right, guys. Last question comes from Cat Janitor over at patreon.com, who is a supporter of ours. Comment is, I am crazy hyped for Crypt of the Necrodancer plus Zelda. This begs the obvious question. What other Nintendo characters would you like to see featured in a prominent Nindie game? Ooh, a prominent Nindie game with Nintendo characters.
That is a very, very, very good question. This is a game that I love, and it's recently been updated by Runner Duck Games and Curve Digital, called Bomber Crew. I would love to see Bomber Crew inside the Great Fox.
Oh, okay, that would be interesting.
I don't know. I just really like that sort of Overcooked and style of game.
Yep.
You know, where you're taking care of a team of people. But that's basically like a one-player Overcooked. Yeah. It's something that I'd like to see more of. But yeah, I mean, it's tough because there's some really great indie games out there. And I mean, I think I'd love to see Mario in Cuphead as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Metroid. In the vein of Dead Cells.
Hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of Metroidvania, so Samus could fit into a lot of games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Dead Cells is so good, and you know, 2D Metroids, they need to come back. So yeah, I could see that. I could see that happening.
Barry, how about yourself?
I honestly don't know. I just can't think about it off my head. Like, I'm going through loads of Nintendo characters and where could they fit in? Like, what would be suitable? But
you're not finding anything.
No, but I mean, like, I know.
I appreciate you taking the time to show up on our show today, Barry. Thanks for bringing your A game. Jeez.
Like, I know it's not an indie game, but I'd love to see, you know, Fox and Marion Rabbids up in space, like, yeah, blend it up. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I'll take that poor answer as opposed to no answer. That's fine. That's absolutely fine as well. Yeah.
Another thing I would love to see is Fast RMX is blatantly the F-Zero of our generation, it looks like. So I would like to see the Blue Falcon included in that, or for them to do some sort of Fast RMX / F-Zero crossover. It would be pretty cool.
Nice. Okay. Awesome. Well, great questions from everyone that sent them in. Thank you guys so much for doing that. Just as we are getting ready to finish off here, I want to thank, of course, Barry for coming on the show today and kind of being our third chair. Barry, thank you so much. And of course, where can everyone find the awesome work that you're doing? Tell us a little bit more about well, obviously you've had a shift actually recently. You've gone from Nintendo Impact Gaming to something completely different. Why don't you tell us what that is?
Yeah, so basically a lot of you may know me as Nintendo Impact Gaming, but I have rebranded recently to IGS, so Impact Game Station. So I'm covering, I guess, all platforms that I own, Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox, PC, virtual reality as well. And I just want to do everything. Like, I want a bigger, you know, larger audience, and I feel it's the right move after 5 years is to expand even bigger again, you know, and get more connections like you.
There you go. That's great. Well, again, Barry, thanks very much for jumping in and joining us. Again, guys, if you have not, head over and subscribe to Barry's channel. You can also find him on Twitter, and he did his fantastic Impact Direct just last week. Make sure you give that a watch. Give it a like. He's doing some really fantastic job with the indie community and great content as well. And he's a friend of our show, and it's just a fantastic guy to hang out with. So I'm so thankful for that as well. Just as we're wrapping up here, guys, don't forget, if you are part of our Patreon community, right? We have got some amazing stuff going on over in our Discord community. We got some super cool tournaments that are being led by Drew, and you guys need to make sure you check out what's going on there. Pick a game, there's tournaments, there's seasons, there's amazing content he's doing there. Check it out. We are so thankful for his awesome support of that as well in his organization. We are so thankful for our people in the community. They make the stuff happen, and it's amazing. Also, big thank you to our Patreon producers. Thank you to all of our 97 Patreon supporters, but our Patreon producers, Chris Mears, John Blanco, Dave Ernsberg, and Timothy Alf. We thank you guys so much for being our great Patreon producers. We are so thankful. Actually, John Blanco or Blanco will be joining us, I think it is next week, actually. So we're excited to have him on as well. So look for that. Of course, guys, that is rounding out the show. You want to support us, you can head over to, as I mentioned before, to patreon.com/ Nintendo Dads to support us. You can, of course, go to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's Nintendo Dads. Pretty simple. You want to find us, go find us there. We greatly appreciate it. Sub, like, do whatever you want to. If you want to email us directly about, hey, some content we heard or questions you want to ask, head over to NintendoDads@gmail.com. We are on Twitch. You can actually subscribe to us on twitch.tv/ Nintendo Dads. And, of course, our YouTube channel, Nintendo Dads, where we have been putting up Let's Plays, unboxings. I've got some new controllers I gave some thoughts on. We did a live reaction today's showcase. These videos are up there almost instantly following the podcast. So that is a great spot. If you have not gone over there and hit that subscribe button, please do so you can stay up to date with all the information that we're doing as well. Also, hey, we have a voicemail. You can actually leave us a voicemail. That's right, you can. You can call us at 929-256-3237. That's 929-25-NDADS as well. We, of course, have some sweet Nintendo Dads merch if you want to buy that. But you don't have to. It's up to you. Totally your call. Big thanks to OC Remix for the music you're going to hear throughout the show that we're going to be adding in post. Thank you very much to Mr. Jesse Waldack for doing that for us. And, of course, if you want to, you want to change the world, here's what you do. You head over to iTunes, you head over to Stitcher, Google Play, all those kind of places that you get your podcasts, and you write, at a minimum, a 4-5-star review. If you're there and you're like, I'm going to give it a 3, go somewhere else. But if you're going to give it a 4 or 5, that's fine. I'm okay with that. Anything else less than 4 or 5, it's a waste of your time, it's a waste of my time. Don't do it. 4 or 5, not a waste of your time. And it helps us change the world. Guys, that's it. That is it. That is it. That is all. That is a show. Episode 222 of the Euro Boys Takeover. Thanks very much for joining us, Gary and Barry. It's been fun. And guys, if you like this kind of weird episode, a little bit different, this kind of spin-off show, let us know. Send us some comments, and maybe we can kind of make it more of a regular occurrence. But for myself, for Gary, and for Barry, thanks for joining, Nintendo Dads. Bye-bye.
Jesse can't handle this heat.
Jesse can't handle it. It's too hot for him. Yeah.
Get out of the kitchen, Jesse.
Kitchen, Jesse.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
Get out of the kitchen, Jesse.